Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Okay, Wicked, welcome to Hip Hop. I can't believe I said Wicked. Jesus.
That was a good intro.
Yeah,
that was bad, a good intro.
Bad things are guan on the Hip Hop Save My Life podcast.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
Listen, I am properly excited today because we are joined by DJ Mad Nice and Verb T from the 4 Owls. How are you doing, guys?
Blah, blah.
Very good. How are you? You
good? Really good, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Anything that come this way, bound to ricochet. Praying on my downfall, now you best think again. Make the right decision, apply the wisdom. Ever on the rise like the price of living. I sit and talk to my alter ego. Things change, will it alter me though? He's so scandalous, just landed at Heathrow. Head still flying though, magic rap dynamo.
I'm properly massive fan, man. Like, what you do is amazing. So thank you for coming on.
Nah, appreciate you having us, man. Not everyone's trying to get us on, so
I know.
I've got love for that. I've got love for the podcast as well.
Oh,
you
cheers.
Know what I mean?
Yeah,
just
man.
The whole Hip Hop Saved My Life, actually dedicating your time to showing love to hip hop. I'm a lifelong hip hop lover, so it means something to me, you know.
Thank you, man. Well, it's you know, we don't get paid for it, do we, Ruth?
No, just doing
it. I certainly don't. In fact, it's running at a fucking loss, mate, to be honest with you.
There is some big overhead.
Hold on, isn't this Drink Champs?
Help yourself to water.
Shit. What?
Part of the reason we're so excited to have you on is, like, basically, I think people, okay, I'm going to say, like, I'm going to make a generalisation here, but I think that a lot of people don't realise how vibrant the UK hip hop scene is, because what I think what they assume is that UK hip hop, because grime has got so big as it has done, I think people's perception is that that's where it's moved now. But actually, with what you guys are doing, and actually there's an amazing scene, isn't
it? Still
there,
bubbling, right?
Yeah,
100%. It's still so underground, which is weird, because when you look at, say, someone like Ocean Wisdom is really doing big numbers, getting big people come to his shows. Our group, the 4 Owls, you know, we're playing all over Europe. We're about to go on tour to Australia. There's a massive worldwide audience, like, through what's, I guess, through YouTube, finding out about it that way. Just this various social network sites is where it all kind of came from. That and the festival circuit.
Yeah.
And those aren't things that are easily identifiable on, like, TV or something.
Yeah.
So, like, to a wider population, it might appear like the scene's not really popping off, but it really is.
What is, how did 4 Owls come about? Because it's sort of kind of, I mean, if for those of you that haven't seen the videos, they've got the masks on and all this kind of stuff. It's a concept thing, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing about the masks, though, really, because a lot of people see it and think, oh, it's like an image or gimmick.
Right.
But the funny thing is, because we were all solo artists before that, it was the whole reason of the mask was to hide. Obviously, people still knew it was us. If they're fans of our music, they know our voice. But it's just to take it away from, it's not like Verb T, Leaf Dog and Flip Tricks and BVA.
Yeah.
It's the 4 Owls. It's just to make that whole thing separate from our solo careers.
So we
just know each other. I've known Flips for a long time, like before High Focus existed, and then after it came about, I met Leaf Dog and BVA, and it kind of happened by accident. We were just jamming and making songs, and it just came about like that.
So it just naturally happened that you came up with this?
Yeah. I mean, kind of, it's, you know, we're friends and we rap together anyway. We made songs together, and I think Leaf Dog came up with the name and said, let's do an album.
Yeah.
And at first it was like a side project, and then it just kind of blew up into something a lot bigger.
And how did the whole thing with, like, what's it, High Focus, like, whenever people talk about UK pop, they say that High Focus is sort of the most exciting sort of collective or the label or whatever we're coming out with stuff. How did that all come about?
It came about from a group of friends, like, doing songs together, knowing each other from the festival circuit. And then, as Flip Tricks is the head of it all, he's the one that kind of started off High Focus as a label. And it's just it again, it's something that it's never planned in exactly the way it happened.
Right.
We just wanted to make good music and play shows, and we got such a good response, it just grew. As the demand grew, Fliptrix's business head clicked into motion and we just moved with it.
We've had a similar journey with this podcast.
In what way? Well, I tell you, well, in the way that we did one and then a year later we thought we should probably do another one. Yeah.
So we were relating here.
Yeah. And Mad Nice, how did you get involved in it?
I used to do shows with Fliptrix back in like the early 2000s, maybe even late 90s. No, early 2000s, I think. And then, I focused. Well, actually, I used to go to school with Verbs. Well, no, I went to school with Fliptrix and then I went to school with Verbs after that.
We didn't actually know each other.
Yeah, we didn't know each other at school.
Did you get on?
We would have got on, but like we had a couple of mutual friends.
You were the year above me, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know how it is. You just have your group. I was just off, miss half the day.
Yeah, but in about 2004, me and Fliptrix did a show in Clapham and you were on the bill as well. We were supporting you, I think. And you came out of the toilet and I was going and I saw you and I was like, didn't you used to go to my school? You're like, yeah. I was like, what are you doing here? You're like, I'm Verb T. Like, you're Verb T.
Now look where we are.
When you're sort of pushing something that you feel is sort of, you're getting popularity elsewhere and you're doing tours and stuff like that, and you feel like, you know, maybe it's not as big as you want it to be, because obviously what you're producing is incredible and it's like so exciting hearing what you guys are coming out with. It really is like brilliant stuff, man. And like, do you get so frustrated to the point you think, shit, I don't know if I can do this anymore, or do you feel like you're getting enough sort of from it that it keeps you going or keeps you in it?
For me, it's just it's all I want to do. You know what I mean? I don't really give a damn about any of that anymore. I used to really get frustrated that it wasn't reaching certain levels, but you know, the more work I've put in and the more I've trusted that this is what I do, the more good that's come from it. You know what I mean? I'm in my 30s now. I've been going, my first record came out in 1999. You know, I've had so many years where fuck all was happening, but I never stopped loving making music. And it's just come round to now where we've got a proper platform for it and people are recognising it. And in a way, it's almost like being proved right, if you want to get petty about it. Like, I know it'll come right eventually.
Yeah.
but like, shit, I don't know. It's just what I do. Like, it's just what I do. So I try to put all the negative shit out of my head and just create.
Has it picked up recently? Have you seen a spike in like your popularity recently?
I think the last like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, the 4 hours is the thing in my personal career. When the 4 hours really took off, that's when my career really took off to a point where it's like, okay, this is serious now. And then since then, the labels just got bigger every year, every year. And I think Ocean Wisdom is like another spike in that, within High Focus. Like you had Dirty Dyke, Leaf Dog, Fliptrix.
Yeah.
Then the 4 hours took it to another level. And I think Ocean Wisdom is helping take it to that next level now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's doing some real good things.
Real smooth, real ice truth. I was in the booth with Dyke, you was in the night. I was selling out a show, you was in the onesie. The ketamine you sniff and got you clumsy. Swear that red, I hate the way I move. Real smooth, real icy. You was watching Hollyoaks and I was in the library. Now I'm getting Gualalos, the man that won't despise me. Swear that I'm booking wizards, getting priced.
And how long has Ocean Wisdom been going? Is he?
Man, I don't
know. He's a young man.
He's like 21 or so, right?
Is he? 22 maybe,
Yeah, he is, man. He is. He's around 21, 22. Well, Chaos 93, so he was born in 93.
Oh, there you go. Okay, that makes sense.
Do the math.
And is Ocean his real name?
Yeah, Ocean Wisdom, real name. Wow. No gimmicks.
You can't not be an entertainment.
I know.
You can't be
blessed
a bank
with that
club.
Name as well.
Fucking Ocean Wisdom, isn't it? And what do you think of American hip hop? Okay. The reason I'm asking is whenever you watch, like, say for example, when you look at comments on your videos and stuff like that, right? A lot of people say, this is what I wish that American hip-hop was doing, and American hip-hop has moved away from what I love about hip-hop, and these people are doing what I think represents hip-hop to me. What's your opinions on sort of American hip-hop and sort of in relation to what you guys are doing?
I mean, I think with those comments, the way I take it to mean is that we're clearly inspired by like the 90s boom-bap era of hip-hop. Mm. And for a lot of people, that is their favourite shit, and that's what they want to hear. That is the sound of hip-hop to them. And what's being made now, like, well, I mean, there's still people making that style of hip-hop, but what's getting the most light? New types of hip-hop, maybe, that take it in different directions. Also, there's the trend of what people call mumble rappers, you know, that you know, have like the same sort of, the same drums with like weird synth sounds. I mean, I'm a hip hop fan, so I listen to everything. I love what's going on in America, but my heart is always going to be in the boom bap stuff. So I think for the fans, they that say that, they're just saying it because they want it to sound how it used to sound, right. And it's moving away from that. And you know, I think it's cool. I think it's always going to be kept alive though, because the art of, you know, chopping up breaks and, you know, using drum machines and stuff, it's never really going to go away. There's always going to be people that want to actually express themselves rather than just make a catchy hook. So I think both have their place, you know. I'm not really mad at anyone for creating in the way they want to, but you know, I'm just glad that there's an audience for what we're doing.
But I think that UK hip hop is a lot more relatable than American hip hop.
Yeah.
Especially, well, obviously to the UK audience.
Yeah. Well, particularly now, I think, like, being, I think UK hip hop's funnier. Like, do you know, like, in terms of,
it's
like,
it's got a better sense of humor.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it's you know, like I think US hip hop, we've talked about this before, but like, US hip hop used to be, I think rappers were like, really funny, right? Like you could imagine like people being comedians, like some of these rappers, like the punchlines and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Biggie had a wicked sense.
Exactly.
Of humor, for
yeah,
definitely.
And I think that's, it's moved away from that a bit now. Whereas with UK hip hop, like, you know, with yourselves and like Dirty Dyke, like Return of the Twat, that whole album is like hilarious, right?
Yeah.
Like it's so funny. And he's still funny. Like, so it's more of, I just think it's more.
You see, the thing, if you use Dirty Dyke as an example, the thing I like about him is that he says this wild, outlandish stuff and can make people laugh, and he's genuinely really funny, but he's also really fucking intelligent. And I think it's that mixture of intelligence and humor. So it's like you can laugh at yourself. But then it's like when you make someone laugh at you, then when you talk seriously, sometimes they're like, shit, they stop and like, whoa, you know, they actually pay real close attention to the serious point you're making as well. And I think from the messages we get from the people that are massive High Focus fans, it's something that, it's like people see it as something that's really important in their lives, that music that speaks to them.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about music. So I really relate to what those people are saying, because when I grew up, like, if I was depressed, I'd put on a Mobb Deep album and get even extra depressed. But you know what I mean? You work your way through it. It's like, like that Prodigy sounds like he's in pain. I can relate to that right there. I don't know.
I quite like, because I'm on tour at the moment, and I've got like, I have hip hop on as the music when the audience are coming in. And somebody tweeted me the other day going, I'm sat next to this elderly couple and Return of the Twat has just come.
I've been sniffing drugs and writing raps all on my own again. My nose has bled and everything I know is screaming go to bed. A 50-50 balance, ask an audience to phone my friends. I'm talking to an open drawer, drawing pins and frozen pens. Spider graphs are forming in the thoughts within my broken head. Lately I'm a slave to coke, or maybe I'm just so depressed. Either way I've rearranged the demons in my leaky brain and tried to speak the truth on every beat and never seem insane.
Do you have the same song every time?
The doors open like 45 minutes before the show starts. So as they're coming in to sit down, I'll have like hip hop playing like as they're coming
shuffled
in to sit down.
Up,
So like, it's a hip hop playlist.
But here's the thing,
do
you think they notice? Do you think that elderly couple actually notices, or do you think it's background
noise?
I don't know. But the thing is, I like it to be like, I like them to feel like it's, I don't want it to be background music. I ask them to put it up loud enough so that people are aware of it enough, and so it makes you feel like you're at a show.
Yeah.
Right?
But
to me, the other thing I think is, when you've got all sorts of people coming in, I just think it's funny that an elderly couple have to listen to Return of the Twat. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just funny to think, because he actually tweeted me going, they look absolutely appalled, but because of like some of the stuff that he's saying in the song. But I just like that. I just think it's fun. Do you know what I mean? Like, to have a hip hop playlist, and then you know that there's this like wide cross section of people that are being forced to listen to what you like.
It's, I can tell you now, but Dirty Dyke will absolutely love that. There's an elderly woman like to her husband, what does make the bean clap mean?
He just said Google.
He said penis rocket popping off to where?
Is he grabbing his lamb dagger? What? Yeah.
Strangling what? I love that. Yeah.
So what stuff do you guys listen to?
All sorts. Mostly old American hip-hop.
Right.
Old 90s New York.
Yeah.
For me, it differs. Like, when I'm making music, I try and just listen to stuff that I would sample, basically.
Right.
But when I'm like at the moment, I've just got the new Danny Brown album, which is pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah. I've been a fan of his. Like, he does a lot of different type of things, but I think he's a real talented MC. I mean, it sounds like one of those cliche answers, but I try and keep my ear open to everything. Yeah. I kind of have to. I need to know what's going on.
Do you know the thing about Danny Brown is, right? And I think the thing about really good stuff is that it's almost like, it's not quite an acquired taste, but you have to click into that zone.
So with
Danny Brown, for example, I'd be like listening, going, this is fucking wicked. And then I'll say to like a mate, I'll check this track out and then I'll play it. And I'm tuning into it and I think it's amazing. And they look at me like, it's not even fucking music, mate. Like,
what? It's just screaming. It's just screaming, isn't it?
It's the voice as well, isn't it? Yeah. Someone's not used to that voice and it's like, like a big seal. Like, but he's so sick, bro.
He's
I don't remember the name of the tune because I've just had it on my phone, but there's one track where he's sort of describing a scene where he's just had a threesome. The way he tells the story, I don't know if it is a true story, but he's one of those rappers that makes you feel like it is a very true story. Like every word, it's like you can picture what he's talking about. Maybe I'm just ultra tuned in, like you're saying. But yeah. I think he's sick.
Yeah, but I do think that's a sign of a great album. Like I talked about it before, but I remember like I used to play Cannibal Ox to Fred. Mm. I remember like my wife hearing me listen to Cannibal Ox and she said, I don't even understand the fuck.
That's another acquired.
Yeah.
Dope as fuck though.
Oh man, hip hop gripes.
Is there any stuff that you don't? Was there anything about hip hop you don't like?
I'm not really down with all that trap.
Like
kind of tinny 808s and just tinny little hats going crazy. And just that mumble, that whole new mumble shit.
Yeah.
Is that the biggest thing right now in hip hop in America? That mumble
What are some artists' examples?
Like Future, I guess.
Designer.
Like that little Yachty guy. He does a weird
That
thing.
Little Yachty. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
what
weird
is that?
Dude, little Yachty. Right, this is amazing, right? So, you know, they do like the Hot 97, they do like the come in and do freestyles and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you look up little Yachty.
I've seen that. We asked him to freestyle.
Yeah. He's got... Honestly, I'm rapping better now in this conversation than that. He's just got fucking like I don't know if it's possible to have negative skills, but the guy, like, it's incredible, man.
Go. Okay. Hey, young nigga from the west side of town. Young nigga from the west side of town. Red hair, gold teeth, but a nigga not a clown. I'm trying to think what to do. I don't know. I'm not a rapper.
Yo, wait, tell me out.
Do you know what really gets me about that video? He's got like a little schoolgirl laugh when he can't remember his voice. He's like, and then stops and then raps again. I mean, man, again, I don't really get mad at anyone for doing what they do now, but it was kind of funny to watch.
The thing is that I remember like when I like used to go to battles like Jump Off all of these sort of things.
You used to battle, didn't you?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He did Jump Off and shit.
I was shit, right? So anyway,
we'll get back to
moving on very quickly, mate.
No, we'll move on. So a Jump Off.
Yeah. But like, you know, that the environment was so, not hostile is the wrong word, but
it was high pressure, right?
Yeah. So you felt like if somebody didn't have, it's similar to when somebody's doing their first gig, like when the open spot comes on at a comedy night or whatever. Like you think, like if you haven't got the skills, you're going to get, the crowd are just going to eat you up, right?
And then
that's the thing that hit me about that little Yachty thing, because I thought, he can't have ever rapped in public before. Because if he'd have ever gone to like a battle and like that's done that,
yeah,
he would have got fucking slaughtered. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
I heard
mad.
An interesting thing. Like, they said, you know, when Ed Sheeran blew up, they said one of the biggest advantages he had is the fact that he'd played shitloads of gigs.
Yeah.
Before he blew up, so he was so used to that performance aspect. And I think with someone like Lil Yachty, he's gotten famous off making weird videos on the internet.
Yeah.
So, like you say, he hasn't actually had the experience to perform, and I think that is actually exactly what it is. Mm. It's funny, but I think it's absolutely true.
It's just like with rappers, I just think it's so amazing when, like, especially, I think those radio interviews and like that they do, that they really, it really highlights it where they go, right, we're just going to drop a beat and I just want you to flow over the top of it. And it's incredible. And you just think that is sort of almost your trade, your base skill, do you know what I mean? You're taking into something. And then, like, to see somebody so openly not have that, I found it, like... And he wasn't even particularly embarrassed. That's the thing. He wasn't particularly embarrassed about it. I would have started so crying.
He didn't give a shit.
No, yeah, he was just
he
like...
really
no,
didn't
like,
give a shit.
No, being able to rap, that's old school. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was sort of... That was almost his attitude.
I think he came out and said... like an open letter to all old rappers, you have to accept the times are changing. Yeah. Really?
To that? What? Like, no, to not that? To that.
To that. Like.
But it's like going to cyclists. You, like a new cyclist came out and he can't ride a bike.
Stabilizers on, yeah.
And then he says to all of the other, like all your old Olympians, you have to accept this is the way it's moving now. Not all of us can balance on a bike.
Analogy,
like,
perfect.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You ride bikes with your feet now, guys. You're like,
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so we've got a bit of a bugbear on this podcast about live hip-hop, right?
Yep.
That we think a lot of people... Well, I do. Rupert always backs out.
Put in the effort.
Rupert backs out whenever I say this. But that, like, sometimes the live experience doesn't match up to the recorded experience. What's your guys' attitude towards live performance? Is that...
I mean, I've seen a lot of... Especially American performers like Wu-Tang, yeah. I've seen a few times now, and they're shit.
Yeah.
Like, the sound is always shit.
Yeah.
No, obviously, you know... There's normally only like three of them there, but I saw them at Brixton a couple of years ago and literally people were like going, I'm getting my money back.
Yeah.
It's shit. You couldn't hear a thing. Like, yeah, sound shit. Admittedly, that's probably the venue's fault, but...
But
they don't make the effort, but
you can do a sound check, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it's like they hadn't even sound checked.
Also, yeah, you have to have your specifications beforehand as well. Like, they could get screwed over by the venue.
Yeah, true, but...
I mean, in terms of people giving the effort, though, I mean, it's... It sounds funny because as the 4 hours, we don't really rehearse properly. But when we're on stage, we know exactly what we're doing and we put everything into it.
Yeah.
And I think that's how we've built up our name. So I can't really conceive of being an MC and going on stage and not giving a fuck. But so many people do. So many people really do. And it's like people get drunk as fuck before they go on. And if that's part of your act and you can function like that, then cool. But... You have to keep a certain degree of responsibility, I think. But I don't know, man. Like, it's like, do the fans really care or do they just want to get pictures and see? Now, has it changed that much where people aren't as judgmental? They just want to get drunk and party?
Well, yeah, but- I don't know. I think it just depends on the artist, you know, because, like, I think, like, if you're going to see, I don't know, Kanye or someone like that, like, I guess the people that you're getting to go and watch Kanye are people that just want to be excited to be in the same room,
right? Yeah.
But if you're watching, like, an underground artist that you're in love with, like, not being funny, but most of the time, when I used to get hip-hop gigs, nobody I knew who the fuck this person was. So even if I got a photo of me, like, tugging him off, nobody's going to give a shit. Because they're just like, I don't even know who that dude is. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it wasn't even about the celebrity thing about it. It's just like, I want to be hearing this record live.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the time, it just was like, you just think, I can't fucking believe I've come out to watch this. And I can't even hear the vocals. And the other thing is, like, it's an advert, right? It's an advert for, like, what you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, like, my wife is, like, not really into it. I remember, like, I take her to most hip-hop shows. I won't take her to, but I took her to see The Roots, and their live show is just, like, amazing.
Yeah,
right?
I can imagine.
And she left being a fan. Like, she's, like, bought, like, you know, she's like, she's like a Roots fan now. And, like, you just sort of think, not everybody that comes to a gig is going to be someone that's heard all of your records before. They're going to be someone that's come along with someone. Do you know what I mean? It's like
100%,
part of it,
especially at festivals as well.
But, like, the high focus shows, there's some pretty hardcore High Focus fans. They come, even if the sound's shit, they still know so many of the words, they can make out what, you know, what's being said.
I remember I went to see, years ago, I went to Essential Festival. I don't know if you remember this.
No, I don't.
It's
good name.
Yeah.
I think
you
it was
have to go.
Yeah, I think it was essential.
That's what they changed it to.
Anyway. Yeah, first of all, it was optional. And then, like, the ticket sales were just shit. And then they still got to step it up. Do you know what I mean? But, like, so I went and J-Roo, they had a hip-hop tent there. J-Roo the Damager was on. And obviously, like, you know, I was excited to see J-Roo the Damager. But, like, a lot of the crowd didn't know who he was. And then he was, like, throwing the mic out to the crowd and people weren't knowing the words.
Oh, that's painful.
And he just, painful. He stormed off.
Really?
Like, yeah, partway through the set, he just went, fuck this, you're not giving me, like, you're not giving me anything back. I can't be bothered.
He is quite good live, actually. We've seen him. Yeah, we've done a few shows with him,
That's the thing. Like, yeah, because he was at Outlook Festival, him and the Beatnuts.
Yeah.
And he killed it. Like, he really, like, he had, you know, where he does the come clean, he's like, uh-oh, heads up, because we're dropping some shit. He spread that between three sections of the audience, so one section was like, oh, oh. I think he's been doing that for years, but anyway, it really works.
No, but imagine that.
And then
one of the sections doesn't know what the fuck you're on about. Uh-oh, guys, fucking heads up, pricks. Yeah. Just sort it out.
But then that's a good question. Do you need to be adaptable? Because, like, we have, like, I've been in that experience before where, you know, one time where you've got the whole crowd saying every word, it's easy. You almost don't have to do much. And then another time where the crowd don't know anything, but that's when you can't storm off. You have to raise your game.
Yeah.
Nothing against J-Roo, that's one of my heroes. Yeah. So I don't know the situation.
No. There, but I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, that's what I'm not. You know.
Oh, of course.
He might have just found out that his car broken down. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? But, like, the thing. So I don't know. It's difficult to tell. You know, he might have been going from difficult. You know. He might have sustained some damage. I don't know. I'm not criticising him. He's a legend. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, yeah. And but no, he's.
But he was upset. But you know, the thing is that I've done. Being on tour at the moment, what you see is sometimes the audience don't know that they're not being as good as another audience that you gig to. So, like, for example, I've just come off, like, I did 9 dates in a row, right? So, like, you can see it. If you do Sunday, like I did like London on Friday and then I did Woking on Sunday, right? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. London on Friday was better in terms of it was louder. The audience were more up for it on that one than Woking on Sunday. But Woking on Sunday, they only fucking know their experience of the show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even though you're sort of going, oh, mate, this feels like lower energy than the other one. They don't know.
No,
they just go,
it.
This is Woking, mate. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I think I've just said Woking more times in the last minute than I have in my entire life, I reckon.
Have you ever had any really shit shows where you just died on your ass?
Yeah.
Can't imagine.
Like recently?
I'll tell you when you do get them
is when you do like corporate awards
so
what it is
it's not there for you
you do like you do 20 minutes at the top and then you present 40 awards for like building and health and safety regulations, right? So
the dream.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, so you go on and it's just you just fucking die. Like some of them are good, but some of them you're just not getting anything. And then you think, I don't even know if they're going to applaud when I say thank you, good night.
Have you ever stormed off in that scenario? Like, fuck J-Roo.
No, I've never. I have never. Actually, I haven't. Touch wood. I mean, it might happen tomorrow
just
night. But I've not.
Kick the lantern over and just.
No, I've never.
Just pop the glitter. There you go. Finale gone. Fuck off.
No, I've never stormed off. I felt like it, but then at the same time, if you don't do your time, then that's the only way they can't pay you. So
yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, true.
To the death.
I know, like. He won't mind me saying this, but Rob Beckett, he was doing a corporate and he was supposed to do 30 and 20 minutes in it started to go really badly, like they were just being arseholes. And he goes, I'm going to be honest with you, I only get paid if I do 30, so I'll stand here in silence for 10 minutes. I don't give a shit, mate. I'm doing the set.
Then he won a round.
Good lad.
No, it ended horribly. He was in hospital for a couple of months. Anyway, Rob, hope you're all right. No, I'm joking.
Plug one, plug two. Guest plugs for you.
So, what are you up to at the moment? Are you touring or what's the deal at the moment?
I'm going to Australia next week.
You're going to Australia next week?
Yeah, man.
For a couple of weeks.
Oh, how long are you going?
Five
for?
Shows.
You just two. Said a couple, literally just said a couple of weeks, yeah. So what's the Australia
That's
movement
2 weeks.
Like?
Big.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've been, like High Focus have done tours there before and it's the first time the 4 Hours have got to go out. And I think outside of the UK, that's our biggest audience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, it's weird how you just... pockets of fans pop up and we've got like a massive audience in Greece.
Yeah,
in Greece.
Yeah, Athens. We played like sold out
Amazing.
Like theatres and shit.
Serious,
crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
That was so patronising the way. You! Yeah. Doing a sold-out theatre.
You're just
in
jealous,
Greece.
Mate. Yeah. You're not. I mean,
yeah. Next week, woke.
Romesh is nobody in Greece.
Yeah, but I got no profile.
But then Australia's like, they've been asking for us to come out for a while, so I don't know. I'm expecting it to be pretty fucking great. But yeah. Who knows? Who knows? I'm just going to go.
And then is it just you? Do you have like, is it like a load of you going out?
It's
is it?
Just 4 hours of me.
4 hours and DJ Mad, nice. Yeah.
And will you have like a local support act or some shit?
I think in every town there'll be a support act, I guess. Yeah.
To be honest, I haven't paid close enough attention to who those people are. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to checking out.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of Oz hip hop actually, but.
What's nerve wracking for me in that situation is if they really like. They really fucking nail it. Does that put
the sport
pressure?
Act?
Yeah. Does that put pressure on, or do you like it?
Oh, no, I love it.
Yeah, of course.
For me, yeah. For
I like
me,
seeing it thriving, really.
Yeah, like,
nah.
For example, really.
That's totally opposite to my. If I see a support act smashing it, I'm just like, fucking, you're not doing this again, mate.
Yeah, but I just know that we'll go and smash it harder. Just make it smash it harder.
No,
it?
I don't have that faith in my ability. I don't have that self belief. I just think, oh, God, this is going to be tough. This cunt's absolutely ripping it.
So have you ever done it then where the support smashed it and you've done a lukewarm show and you've just been like, fuck.
It probably has. I mean, in my head it hasn't happened, but it probably has done. I mean, the audience have already gone, Jesus Christ, bring the other fucking guy back out. But I think support is hard.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah. No one's there to see you.
I supported Sean Walsh for a long time.
Right? Oh yeah.
And he found it hilarious when I died on my arse. And I remember once we were doing a gig and I was playing to fucking nothing. And all I could hear was just him cackling at the back of the room.
Oh, it was cool. That's cool.
Amazing.
That's something Mad Max would do.
That's true, yeah.
So that's wicked then. And then are you working on any new like records and stuff?
Yeah, we've all got solo. Like there's a Flip Tricks album coming out in November. Leaf Dog's got a new solo and I'm working on a new solo as well. But now those are all kind of wrapped up, so I'm hoping we're going to finally... It's so hard to bring... Because we all live in different places as well, the 4 hours. It really is like a massive, massive undertaking to even start work on an album. That's why it always takes us about 3 years.
Will you always record together, or do you do it separately and send stuff across?
We'll always record together. And we try and write together as much as we can too. Sometimes we'll just come up with concepts and ideas and then we'll each take it away and do our bits and come back together to record. But I think it's important as a group that we need to be in the same room, rather than sending in verses. I just think it wouldn't work.
With regards to like verses and stuff like that, for example, you're touring your current stuff, and then you come to sit down to work on something new, are you thinking I just want to create new stuff, or are you thinking I want this to be better? Like, are you trying to move your style on, or are you trying to progress with what you're doing, or do you feel like you've got that nailed now and you're just trying to like push on with new material?
It's both. I mean, we just want to evolve what we already do. I mean, I think we have a specific sound that people like, and obviously we don't want to make the same album again, because that's just, you know, that's going to die eventually. But I do think there's a certain formula that works for us, and it's just about finding the right lane to do the same thing but just evolve it ever so slightly. And usually that happens with us just growing older and having different shit to talk about. I think that's what's benefited me as an MC, is just like, you know, I was a bit of a dick when I was younger.
What do you mean when you were younger?
hey. But, you know, I just think over time I found my style, and I think, with the group, I don't know, man. I really don't know. There's no rhyme or reason to it. We just get together and make music. And the main thing is we need to make shit that we're all really happy with, that we know. Like, when you make a tune that's good, you just know. Like, when we made, Not Like Before, for example, we just knew it'd do well. Like, Life in the Balance, we knew it'd do well. And those are the songs that did well. And you kind of, over years, you get that sense where you know if it's not good enough. And if it's not good enough, we just won't put it out. Like, I don't want any half-assed albums.
Yeah.
So whether or not the fans like it, you can guarantee that anything we put out, is we believe in it 100%. Like, that'll always be the case.
This is the bit where kids listen to hip-hop.
I'm trying to get my kids into hip-hop, right? So I started off by playing a bit of De La Soul. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to play one of your tracks to my kids, and then we're going to get their reaction and we're going to put it on the podcast.
Okay.
Like, have you got a particular track that you want me to... Because it's very important. It's my kid's first exposure to 4 hours.
Kid-friendly.
I would say Life in the Balance.
That's a bit slow, that one.
Yeah, but I don't want to put on like Assassination. You know, just completely.
No, but that's good. They'll learn the word Assassination then, won't they?
Yeah, but I don't want them to learn loads of other bad. I try not to play my kids too much swearing at the moment.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you are on swearing.
Well, my wife and I have very different views on this. I think it's totally fine. She's opposed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, man. Okay, well, I would say Life in the Balance.
Okay.
Life in the Balance.
Say hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm about to play to them Four Owls, and we're going to see what they think.
Like a leaf clings to a tree.
The world is well balanced like karma is. Do you fight freedom on the front line where the army is? Or in your mind, opening the left part of this? I feel it in between my bones just like the cartilage. When I'm parting this world, I won't be sad. The true gift was the blessing of life that I've had. Can think that I'm mad. Oh, leaves are some hip issue. It took a lot of changes in me to consider it. Inspired by an old ancient manuscript.
Okay, we just listened to Life in the Balance by Four Owls. Two boys are here. What did you think?
I thought 1 out of 10, it's the best song I've ever heard so far.
Hold on, it's the best song you've ever heard so far, and you're giving it 1 out of 10?
No, 10 out of 10.
Out of 10, okay. And what did you think of it?
We should go home and go play some songs.
Yeah, but what did you think of this song?
It was good.
It was good? What did you like about it?
I liked when that did the bum thing.
What bum thing?
It did the bum thing.
What are you talking about?
Are you going to record that one?
Yeah. What are you talking about, the bum thing?
It was in that song.
What song? What did it say? What bum thing?
What? When did they say bum in the song?
At the next bit.
He's crazy.
So what would you give out of 10?
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. And what about you?
10 out of 10.
Okay, so that is what my boys think of Life in the Balance by the Four Owls. Say bye.
Bye!
If I can see a bright sky shine when my eyes shot.
Wicked, that was great, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was
that was good.
What a good selection. That was great, man. It.
Speaking of your kids, you know one of your children headbutted me in the balls once?
What?
Yep.
Are you shitting me right now? What a fucking random...
straight into my balls.
When did this happen?
Latitude Festival about 2 years ago.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious, yeah.
Oh, really? This is amazing.
The year we played. So me and my wife were standing outside the comedy tent. I think we might have just seen you, just before you'd gone on.
Right.
And we were just standing outside having a drink. All of a sudden, this little kid just goes bang straight into my balls. And I was like, what the fuck? I looked over and you were standing there just laughing, chatting to someone. You kind of looked at me and just kind of went, rolled your eyes a little bit.
Yeah, that sounds like,
cheers,
that
buddy.
Sounds like, gave that you sounds like the hands on level of parenting. Shit, what a weird connection that is. Wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, mate, they were a fucking nightmare that whole weekend. Anyway, listen, guys.
Brave man taking him to Latitude.
Well, I know. It was a mistake. It was a mistake in hindsight. Listen, thank you so much for coming. Look, I mean this. I think what you guys do is brilliant.
And thank you very much.
We'd love to have you back on in the future. And whenever you've got new stuff out or whatever, just come back on. We'd love to have you back on.
No, thanks, man. Again, big up for the podcast, too. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to see.
Love cool. Podcast. Cheers, man. Thank
nice
you.
One,
bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.